God.
Amen.
Well, I was just looking over my notes again, and I was bragging on how well the program that I used to translate into Braille had worked this time. I'm looking over it again, and now I'm like, is this all up here and in the right order? So we'll see. Hopefully everything will be all right.
Yes, it will.
I think so, because I think the Lord has something to say today.
Good.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your willingness to use us to deliver your message. Thank you for your willingness to bring us into your kingdom, to make us a part of what you are doing. And Lord, as we explore your word today, I just pray that you guide my words, that they be your words, that in the midst of what seems to be an impossible situation, your glory comes through. That your words come through, and that your wisdom comes through, and that we know what we should do from this point forward.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I don't know how many of you spend a lot of time watching the news. The more, especially lately, the more I watch it, the more grim things seem to be. It doesn't seem to be anything good happening everywhere you look. You talk about the economy, $19 trillion in debt. The jobs that are available are not the good jobs that people need.
No.
A lot of people have just left the workforce and decided that they're not even going to try anymore. Healthcare situation's a mess. Mm-hmm. We're worried about our security. Terrorist attacks are happening in our own country, even though people don't want to recognize it for what it is. We're allowing people without any kind of concern for safety, and certainly we need to be gracious and we need to be generous where we can, but we're allowing people to come in without even checking out and making sure that they're not here to hurt us. We have problems in our society. The racial tension is probably the highest it's been since the 60s. Lawlessness seems to be everywhere you look. We've had stuff happen in our own city. And you see on the news things that are happening and seemingly random acts of violence that are going on. I really believe that these things are just a symptom of the cultural decline that has been underway for many, many years. Many of these young men that you see out causing a lot of these problems don't have fathers.
Amen.
Weren't raised with the kind of stability and family that God intended. And we've attacked the institution of marriage and caused it to mean nothing. And we're all unhappy about the things that have transpired in the last few years and how we've now called it something that it never has been in the history of the world. But it didn't start with that. It started when we made divorce easy and quit valuing the family, quit valuing the importance of that stable family unit that holds our society together. And worst of all, we have the continued destruction of innocent lives through abortion. Every day, more than the number of people that were killed in 9/11 are destroyed in our clinics. Some of you may have seen the video that I shared, and I think Linda shared it too, a couple of weeks ago maybe.
Amen.
It was very disturbing.
Amen.
And what it showed was a man canvassing an area, and he was trying to get people to sign a petition. And this petition was for mandatory euthanasia of old people. And people signed it. Everybody that he spoke to signed it. Dear Jesus, where have we gone that far? Now, I would grant you that part of what was going on there is that people don't pay attention. And they want to be polite, and they want to get along, and so they put this in front of them and they sign it. But dear Jesus, do you not pay attention to what you're doing? It doesn't make any difference. You know, we look at what happened in Nazi Germany and we think that, oh, how awful it was and how could they do that? You watch that video and realize that we're not really any different. Same things are going on. You look at our politics and we're all disgusted by what's going on in our politics right now. But all that does is reflect who we are. We chose those people. Now, you might say, well, I didn't. Well, I didn't either, for that matter. But as a society, we chose those people. They reflect who we have become. I hope, since we asked for it and now we got what we asked for, I hope that maybe we'll start to take a second look at ourselves and think that maybe we don't want what we asked for. You know, it used to be that people at least had to pretend to a certain level of decency. It doesn't seem to even be necessary anymore. Don't even pretend. So, what happens? Are we under God's judgment already? I have begun to wonder if that's not the case. It seems that the natural disasters have increased over the past few years. I don't know if that's really true, or it's just now we've got 24 hour news cycles to show us everything that's happening in such detail. But it would seem to be that the lawlessness and violence is on the increase. And are we under judgment? Honestly, we don't know. I don't know. I mean, I can't stand up and tell you that. I do know this. It's clear from the scripture. In fact, we're going to read it today, that God does use natural disasters as a form of judgment. Yeah. You read the history of Israel, you also see that he will use enemy powers as a means of his judgment. And he would be justified in doing so. He's been merciful to us, extremely merciful up to this point.
Amen.
As I look around me and my heart gets so heavy and I think, Lord, is it even right in the face of particularly the issue of the death of innocents, is it even right for me, for anyone to ask for mercy anymore? Is that not somehow an insult to you to even ask for it anymore? How long? How long is he going to wait? Is there anything that we can do? I really believe that there are some things that we can do. One of the things that we can do, obviously, is take responsibility. Take responsibility. You know, I've talked about all these terrible things that are happening, but we still live in the greatest country in the world.
Amen.
You have an honor and a privilege here that no one else enjoys, that no one perhaps ever in history has enjoyed. Make sure that you use it wisely. Be a good steward of what you've been given.
Amen.
Speak the truth. I was going to put this at the end, but I want to do it now because I don't want to forget. I want you to do something for me. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to go online. If you're not able to go online, if you want them, I'll get them for you. I want you to go online and I just want you to read party platforms. Just read the party platforms from both parties with an eye toward biblical principles and what's wrong and what's right. And then make your decision. That's all I'm going to say about that. Just read the platforms. And realize that the people who are in one party or the other have at least given nominal support to those things as being the things that they stand for by calling themselves one or the other. And make the decision accordingly. And be ready to speak the truth. Be ready to speak the gospel, because that's the only thing that's really going to bring any change. Hearts have to change. And we, as the people of God, need to repent and live holy lives before God.
Amen.
And before the rest of the world. God has been known to delay His judgment in response to the faith of His people. You read it all through the story of Israel, and particularly with the leaders. So pray for your leaders, folks.
Amen.
I'm going to go to a scripture that we've all heard many times, but I'm going to read it again. But I'm going to start in verse 13, because it's important to understand the context. We read the second part, we don't ever read the first part. So I'm going to start in verse 13. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, and if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land.
Amen.
Context is important here. Let me give you the setting. This is after the temple. Solomon has built the temple, and they dedicated the temple. And they just had the sacrifices, and the glory of God came into the temple and filled it so that nobody could even go in the temple. It was a visible, palpable glory of God that came down and inhabited the temple. And the sacrifices were made, and the feasting was all completed. And then God speaks to Solomon and gives him this message that we just read. It's a message for the nation of Israel. And it's important for us, when we read the Old Testament, to understand that context. Can we appropriate some of the things that were given to Israel? I believe that we can, and I'm going to try to make the case of how we can in this case. But we always need to be aware of the context when we pull out Scripture and use it. But we can learn. We can learn about God's nature. We can learn from the history of the nation of Israel and what happened. The fact that God kept His word. These two verses go together. This is spoken in the context of a nation gone awry and God's judgment on that nation. Figure out what I wrote here. It doesn't make any sense. And he says, if my people were called by my name, we are good rule keepers. We know how to keep the rules, and one of the things that we have to watch for is that we can become arrogant. Exhibit A would be the Pharisees, and we love to pick on the Pharisees, but that was one of their problems. They knew how to keep all the rules, so they became sure of themselves and decided that they knew what was required, and if they did it all right, God would have to then be obligated to bless them. But God says the pride goes before fall, or destruction, depending on your translation. Proverbs 16:18, we know it well. But then he says something else. And this I've lost. Looks like I've lost part of the reference here. But this came out of the New Testament, quoting from the prophet Hosea, and it says this, and it's an answer to the question. Can we appropriate this? Are we his people? Are we, in fact, his people? Yes, we are. We are his people, called by his name.
Amen.
He says through the prophet Hosea, I will call her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, then they shall be called sons of the living God. So yes, we are his people. You can also look in Romans. We won't go and read it, but you can also look in Romans chapter 8 and see how that's played out. You can also look in chapter 10, that famous passage that we always read when we're explaining the plan of salvation. And look at verse 13 there that says that there's no difference. We're all God's people. And we call ourselves Christians. One of the people that I listen to likes to point out that you can think of that as little Christs. People who belong to Christ. We're called by his name. And we carry with that, being called by someone's name, that's something very important. About that. Authority came with that. And so because we're called by his name, then we have the authority that comes with that name. And there are certain things then that he told us we must do. If we want to see salvation, if we want to see a turnaround in this nation, these are the things that we must do. He starts by saying, humble yourself. It's easy to get prideful. I think I see that what happened here. Things got mixed up. It's easy to get prideful, but he said, no, you've got to come to me realizing that you need me. Realizing that we cannot make it without him. But to humble ourselves before him. Because until we realize that we have a problem, then we don't come to him, right? We think we're okay. But humble yourself and pray. God's nature is revealed in his relationship with his people. And we are his people. And God does spare nations on account of his people. So if we are, and boy, I missed a whole section of my notes, so I'm winging it here, but folks, forgive me. But since if my people will humble themselves and pray, we studied not too long ago about how prayer has to be something that, it doesn't have to be anything special. It doesn't have to be repetitious. It doesn't have to be couched in any particular terminology. It's just a matter of talking to your Lord and having a relationship with your Lord.
That's the truth.
So we get into a place where we know that we need God, and then we speak to God, talk with God, and pray. And in that prayer, then he begins to speak to us and he begins to show us. And the next thing that we then have to do is we have to get rid of the sin that's in our own lives.
Amen.
He's talking, he says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. So we have a responsibility to live holy before God and before others. Turn from those things that we know are not good turn from those things that are destroying our relationship with God, that are causing others to look and see those things that are that do not glorify God in our lives. Humble ourselves and pray. Turn from their wicked ways. And then he says, I will hear from heaven. Now, God is all-powerful, all-knowing. We know that he hears us. If I were writing this today, I might say, I will listen from heaven. I bet you every wife in here knows that they can be heard without being listened to.
Amen.
The thing is, what's God saying here? No, I'm going to listen. When you come to me like this, I'm going to listen. It's active. I'm going to hear from heaven. And I'm going to take action. I will forgive your sins and heal your land. So if we can appropriate this message for ourselves, then it sends a very strong message to us as a church. It's our responsibility. He's speaking to his people here. Listen, people who don't know God can't be expected to do any of these things. Why would they? There's no reason for them to. They don't believe it. They don't know that. They don't understand. I mean, there may be some rudimentary understanding because of society and the things that that we have held up. But this isn't a message to the people who don't know any better. This is a message to the people who should know better. It's our role. It's our role to intercede. It's our role to live holy before the Most High God. And to go forth and to make disciples just like he told us to. To intercede on behalf of the nation. To one of the scriptures that I'm missing here that I originally had was from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is mentioned among three people that God said, even if Daniel and Noah and Job, it's in Ezekiel, and I've lost the reference here. Even if they were in this nation, they've gone so far that I wouldn't save it even for them. I would only save them. But Daniel prays, and he says, as he's praying for the nation, he says, we've sinned. We haven't done what you told us to do. And God honors that prayer. And he comes to Daniel and he says, I'm going to fix it. And he begins to show him the prophetic, the things that are going to happen. Going forward, God honors that prayer. I believe that it is still possible that God will honor our prayer.
Amen.
And I guess that's really all I have to say about it because all my notes are gone.
Amen.
But it's just become so, my heart has been heavy as I thought about this today and as I think about it over the past few weeks particularly, that we're at a crossroads, that we're at a point, I'm just going to have to speak to you from my heart because my notes are worthless. We're at a point in this country where we have to make changes. And those changes, I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again, those changes aren't political. There is no earthly savior that can change our course. It is only God who can change our course.
Amen.
And God has given us the responsibility as his people, as his church, as his representatives here in this country, here on this earth. He has given us the awesome responsibility and really the privilege and the honor to be the spokesman, to get out there and say, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's our job, it's our place, and we need, before it's too late, to be out there doing it. And what does that look like? Honestly, I don't know. Am I a shining example of it? No, I would have to say not. But I'm learning. I was in a car the other day on an Uber trip, and I was listening to this man talk, and I was he was sounding like maybe having a little bit of discord at home with his wife, and I'm listening to all the things that he's saying, and later on, I was thinking about it. I was like, you didn't even try. You didn't even try to guide the conversation back to a place where you could share with him the things that would actually help him change his life. Folks, we need to start thinking that way. We need to be transformed, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, by the renewing of our minds. Change the way that we're thinking so that we're always on like that. We're always looking for those opportunities to share Jesus. Because only Jesus, only the Lord, is going to turn this around and bring us to the place that we need to be. I hope that it's not too late. But I believe in a merciful God. And if it is too late, if judgment is coming, there's another prayer that I have, and another encouragement for you that I have. When people hit bottom, they sometimes look up. And so if things continue to decline and you begin to see things, yes, it's distressing, and we care for people and we love people, we don't want to see people hurting. But don't miss the opportunity that presents to say, hey, get an eternal perspective. There's somebody who loves you, who would have spared you all this if you'll only listen to them. And I'm going to shut up now because I'm just rambling. But thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Thank you for providing for us a way that we are able to come to you, that we are able to bring others to you, that there will be a time when you will rule and reign over this earth and all of this evil will be done away with. But Lord, we want to bring as many people as we possibly can with us. And I know that that is your desire as well. That there not be anyone left. So your desire would be that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. But show us, Lord, how to do our part. In Jesus' name.
Amen.